So we've had this news that KSI is linking up with the Shaolin brothers and Wasserman or Wasserman Boxing, however you pronounce it, to start a joint promotional company, as far as I understand it. Correct me if I'm wrong. Now, at the time of recording this video, it was unclear the nature of the shows they're going to be putting on, whether it's just going to be YouTuber type shows, YouTuber TikToker shows, or whether it's actually going to be real professional boxing or a mixture of the two. Now, I know a lot of people don't like this. A lot of people believe that this is going to essentially box food out of real fighters' mouths. I personally disagree. I think that these type of people, KSI, Logan Paul, Jake Paul, bring more attention to the sport, and they inspire people to give it a go for themselves. I mean, just look at how many of the friends of Logan Paul and KSI have done the same thing that they've done and tried to have a go at boxing. You seriously think that among their fan bases, a similar thing isn't going to be happening as well? It will be. There are going to be nerds, right, in their fan bases who are going to want to take up boxing. And by the way, not all boxers grow up as the tough guy in their neighborhood. There's plenty of fighters. Some turn out to be great fighters who are really shy people who, if they hadn't taken up boxing, they would have been doing, I don't know what, but they would have been very reclusive. Boxing reveals qualities in people that they often didn't know they had themselves. I've seen it myself in boxing gyms over the years. People take up the sport, and after a couple years, once they realize they've got some talent for it, their confidence just goes through the roof. And prior to taking up boxing, they were very timid individuals. So, boxing is a sport full of alpha males, yes. But it's also a sport full of diamonds in the rough. People who, you know, otherwise wouldn't be overtly confident and what have you, and self-assured. But they found that they had this latent ability, this latent talent for boxing, and it allowed them to grow as a person and do things they never imagined they could do. So I think that with YouTube boxing, even though it's a bit of fun, even though it's not as serious as proper professional boxing, it can still be an avenue of inspiration for certain people. And for that reason, I think it's good. I think that there will be a minority, it's not going to be the majority, but there'll be a sizable minority of KSI fans, Logan Paul fans, etc., who will migrate over to professional boxing in terms of watching it, at the very least. Yeah, people who wouldn't have been interested in boxing previously, due to watching KSI and, you know, the Paul brothers and so on, they then start to take an interest in proper boxing. So I think it's good. And as I said before, if these YouTubers weren't settling their differences through the medium or the format of boxing, they could be doing it through MMA. And therefore, all that extra attention would be going to that sport rather than boxing. You know, I've been following this sport for over 30 years now. And one thing I've come to learn about boxing fans, particularly the so-called hardcore boxing fans, is that most of them are absolutely miserable. I mean, they're just so, so negative all the time about the sport. They're always glasses half empty rather than glasses half full. They're always looking at the things we don't have in the sport rather than the things we do have in the sport. You know? So I don't really pay them too much mind. For me, the more the merrier. Now, in terms of the broadcast situation, if Sky are going to pick this up, because they obviously put on Logan Paul versus Mayweather, if they're going to pick this up and solely I mean, they've got this Top Rank deal, so they're clearly not solely going to do YouTube or boxing. But even if they did, right, let's just say they did, would I be in favor of that? It wouldn't be ideal, because you don't want, even though I've got my issues with Sky, you still don't want DAZN having a monopoly. You still don't want Eddie Hearn having a complete monopoly. You don't want that, because Eddie Hearn has talked about in the past how he has so much admiration for Dana White, how he would love to have a UFC-style model in boxing. I think that would be terrible for boxing. I've made this comparison before, and I think it's a very valid comparison and an accurate comparison. But the internal structure of UFC is almost like a communist structure, okay? Obviously, you know, you wouldn't have an organization like UFC in a fully communist society, but I'm talking about the internal structure. The internal structure of UFC is like communism, because you've got a big government, right? The people that run the UFC and own the UFC, they're very powerful, far more powerful than the fighters. And the fighters, I don't know what it's like contractually, but they're essentially like employees. And the wealth distribution between the highest earning fighters and the lowest earning fighters in UFC is not as wide, right? The pay gap is not as big in UFC as it is in boxing. So you could look at boxing and say there's more inequality in boxing, because the highest earning is very top heavy. The highest earning guys are making insane amounts of money. But the lowest earning guys, I mean, you couldn't even call it a pittance. They're better off working in Tesco's. That's how little they're earning. But in boxing, there is the ability for a fighter to go from zero to hero in a very short space of time and earn far more money than they would be able to in something like the UFC. Way more money. Because in boxing, for the most part, the fighters, and I'm talking about the biggest fighters, they are bigger. Their brand is bigger than the promotional company that promotes them. Canelo Alvarez, in the eyes of the public, is a bigger brand. Obviously, Matchroom makes insane amounts of money. We know this. But in the eyes of the public, and because Matchroom, of course, promote countless different fighters, so the accumulation of all the percentages they get from all these different fighters makes them very powerful. But if you look at somebody like Anthony Joshua, per show, he's making more money than Eddie Hearn. He's making more money than Matchroom. Yeah, per show. Same with Canelo Alvarez and so on. Whereas you look at most of the top people in UFC, it's not like that. The promotional company is making far more money than they're making per show. And on top of that, the promotional company, UFC, is a bigger brand name than the fighters themselves. Yeah? So in boxing, it's more like a capitalist thing where it's like snakes and ladders. It's economically a lot less stable. It's more like the Wild West. But I prefer that. Yeah, I think that that allows fighters to have more opportunity to basically become their own bosses. That's essentially what I'm getting at. You can really be your own boss in boxing. At least to a certain degree, you know, then you've got the TV companies and all that. But with the internet, surely it wouldn't be that hard for a fighter to set up their own internet channel, you know, where they could stream things online and do things that way. So there's far more ability in boxing for you to be your own boss than there is in something like UFC. So, yeah, I'm not a fan of the UFC model. I respect the UFC fighters and all that kind of business, but I would not like that kind of model in boxing. And therefore, and this is something, by the way, Chris Andre mentioned in a recent video, therefore, I would not like to see the UFC model implemented in our sport. And therefore, you're going to need Sky, BT, and all these other entities to still stay in the game. And of course, in America, PBC, ESPN, and so forth. Obviously, there's a trade-off. There's politics between the different organizations. But ultimately, I'm always pro-fighter. I always care about the fighter being able to be their own boss, being able to get paid the maximum possible amount, and so on. So yeah, that's my take on it. But as far as KSI hooking up with Sauerland, Wasserman Boxing, and all this business to do their own shows, in principle, not only do I not have an issue with it, but I think it's great. I think it's great. I think it shines a light on the sport more. And you're going to have unlikely characters turning up to your local boxing gym. People who you wouldn't have expected to turn up. Because it breaks down that intimidation factor. You know, when I was boxing in my teenage years, I had friends who were, you know, tough guys, yeah? Roadman. And yeah, some of them actually were boxers and they did come to the gym and they had amateur careers and stuff like that. But most of them weren't. I knew certain men that would have street fights and they were tough guys on the roads. But when I invited them to come to the gym boxing, they didn't want to come. They had this, and obviously this is back in the 1990s, they had this idea in their head that as soon as they step in a boxing gym, it's going to be full of Mike Tysons and they're going to be thrown into the ring immediately. And, you know, somebody's just going to unleash Mike Tyson on them or something. So people have this idea in their head that boxing gyms are really intimidating places. The very same people will go to a fitness gym. Yeah, but they won't go to a boxing gym. Well, actually, in a boxing gym, it's far more friendly than a fitness gym most of the time. In most fitness gyms you go to, there's far more pretentiousness in there. There's far more overinflated egos and idiots and all that kind of stuff in fitness gyms than there is in boxing gyms. Yeah, boxing gyms, generally speaking, have much more of a family atmosphere. People tend to be much more kind and approachable and stuff like that in a boxing gym. It's what a lot of people don't realize. But through the likes of the KSIs and the Logan Pauls being in boxing gyms all the time, people are starting to see that more. Boxing gyms are not such intimidating places. You can come down and, you know, nobody's going to set about you and throw you in at the deep end immediately. You don't even have to spar if you don't want to. You don't even have to fight if you don't want to. Just come down and see what it's all about. Yeah? It's a family atmosphere in most boxing gyms. So I think that, as I say, the YouTube boxing will help to break down those barriers and those misconceptions people have and realize that boxing gyms are nice, most of them nice, friendly places to come and train. A lot of people who go to boxing gyms just go there for the camaraderie. You know, they have no real intention of fighting or boxing or anything like that. They just like training to stay fit. And they like the camaraderie in the gym, which is far greater than you'll see in most fitness gyms. You got a bunch of pretentious people and steroid heads and all these idiots. Whereas in a boxing gym, is for the most part, it's not like that. Obviously, you know, you're always going to get idiots everywhere, even in boxing gyms. But for the most part, people are really cool in boxing gyms. So yeah, that's what I'll say about it. I'm cool with this promotional situation, KSI, Sauerland, Wasserman Boxing. I think it's all good. It will inspire some people to take up the sport who wouldn't ordinarily have gravitated towards boxing. And even the people that are not going to take it up, but are just going to follow it, some of them, a minority of them, are going to migrate towards watching proper professional boxing rather than this YouTuber boxing. So that's my take on it. Let me know your take in the comments below. I'm sure plenty of you are going to disagree, and that's okay. As long as you keep it respectful, no problem at all. So let me know how you guys feel in the comments below. This is a really good interview with Buddy McGirt. Short interview, but a good interview. He's talking about the mental approach that Deontay Wilder needs to take for this Tyson Fury trilogy fight. He is a little concerned that Deontay is too set on revenge and too set on destroying Tyson Fury, whereas the mentality he should be coming into the fight with is a relaxed, calm mentality. Being all wound up and uptight is going to work against him, and I agree on that. Yeah, he needs to be calm. Needs to be relaxed. Forget about all this revenge stuff. In some ways, from an emotional perspective, from a psychological perspective, You have to pretend as though this is a blank slate. He's just another fighter. Forget about the fact that he beat the living daylights out of you. Just come into it calm and look to implement the improvements that you've been making, the things you've been working on in training camp. Yeah, don't look at it as, I got to get this guy, I got to prove everyone wrong. Relax. Because if there's any fighter out there who's going to take advantage of that type of mentality, it's Tyson Fury. Oh, he would love to get you wound up so you come at him all hyper-aggressive and what have you, and he can start clowning you and frustrating you. He would love that. You must stay calm. And that's what Buddy McGirt was saying in this interview. And I've said in the past, I think Deontay Wilder should, and perhaps they're going to do this, you know, some of the things Malik Scott has been saying kind of indicate they might. If you're Deontay Wilder, you might even want to try moving around and getting Fury to come to you. I know Fury's got the longer reach and what have you, but if Deontay Wilder actually dedicates himself to being awkward and moving around and slippery and quickening up those feet on the back foot, that's at least a different look that he could give Tyson Fury. Because in the second fight, Deontay was on the back foot, but not voluntarily. He was trying to come forward. He was trying to get some forward momentum, but he was walking into a brick wall. Tyson Fury's jab was smacking him in the face. And on the inside, Tyson Fury was just way physically stronger than him at 270 plus pounds. So that's a different situation to what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a situation where Deontay decides that he's going to move around the ring. He decides he's going to try and make it difficult for Tyson Fury to pin him down. And I'm not saying it would necessarily work. All I'm saying is, at least it's something different. And at least it's a strategy where it's not reliant on Deontay being all wound up and looking for one punch. But he's being more tactical. And he's actually trying to make Tyson Fury miss. He's actually trying to frustrate Tyson Fury a little bit. Because that's how a lot of Deontay Wilder's knockouts have come anyway. Yeah, when he's tried to frustrate fighters and he's walked them onto the shot, rather than when he's gone out there looking for it. So, yeah, I agree with Buddy McGirt. I think it's a good interview, a short interview. I think Deontay Wilder, even if he decides to go looking for the knockout again, he needs to be calm. He can't be consumed with rage and, you know, obsessing about revenge. Even if he wants to go out there and fight assertively, you got to be calm in your head. You got to be calm emotionally. You got to be in a good place. You can't be uptight. Yeah? So let me know what you guys think in the comments below about Buddy McGirt's interview here. You know, he's warned Deontay not to be too uptight. Don't be uptight in the run-up to the fight, because that's going to manifest itself in the ring. And don't be uptight in the ring. Work on being calm. You see, Deontay is a naturally aggressive person. You see? And the aggression he has is an asset, but it can also be a hindrance. It's a blessing and a curse. Because when you've got a guy who's naturally aggressive like that, when they become too aggressive, when they become too uptight, when they become too angry, that can work against them. A fighter, in this case Tyson Fury, who's very good from the psychological aspect, he can turn the tables on them. He can use that innate aggression they have against them. Yeah? And it's the opposite with extremely laid back, extremely relaxed fighters. Some of them actually need a G up. They need to be motivated, you know? Because sometimes they could be too lackadaisical if they're a very laid back type of personality. Because that can work against them. Sometimes they just might not be at the races if they're too laid back. So, as I say, you have to tailor what you're going to do as a trainer, not only to a fighter's physical attributes and their aptitudes, but also to their personality type. Certain fighters are going to need to be calmed down a little bit, and certain fighters are going to need to be hyped up a little bit, depending on who they are and depending on the situation, who they're fighting, the circumstances they find themselves in. So anyway, let me know what you guys think about this in the comments below. And actually, before I go, some people are going to say it's a bad idea for Deontay to go moving around the ring, this, that, and the other. Well, perhaps it will be, but it was a bad idea fighting the way he did in the second fight, wasn't it? Because it couldn't have gone any worse for him. So he might as well try something different, at least for a couple rounds, see how it goes. Yeah? At the end of the day, at this point in time, it just looks like Tyson Fury is the superior fighter. And if what you did last time didn't work, well, switch it up and try something different. Doesn't mean that's going to work either. But in my mind, it's a more logical thing to do than to try the exact same tactics and expect a different result. You know? So, yeah, let me know what you guys think in the comments below. Tyson Fury is a 3-1 favorite against Deontay Wilder in their trilogy fight. Considering how one-sided the rematch was, I'm surprised the odds are not even longer than that. Fury has promised that Deontay Wilder won't go any further than he did last time. Last time he went, was it seven rounds? Fury says he won't go past that this time either. He said he's going to run over Deontay Wilder like he's an 18-wheeler and Wilder's a human being. He also said, I don't know whether Fury was being facetious, but he said he's going to come in even heavier for this fight than he was for the second fight. He's talking about coming in at 300 pounds. Now, just like David Haye, just like many other people, I was alarmed when Tyson Fury came in at 270-odd pounds for the Deontay Wilder rematch. Because in my mind, and David Haye's mind, and many other people, I felt like Tyson Fury would have to move in order to beat Wilder. I did not believe that Tyson Fury was serious when he said he's going to take center ring, push Wilder back, and have it out with him. I thought, nah, he surely can't be serious about doing that. But then when I saw him come in at 270-odd pounds, I thought, wow, maybe he is serious. This is an eyebrow raiser, to say the least. And when he went in there and absolutely smashed Deontay Wilder to bits, pushing him back with a jab, breaking him up on the inside, hitting him with right hands, real Kronk-style stuff, I was blown away. I never thought Tyson Fury could beat Deontay Wilder in that fashion. Yeah, I thought he could beat him, but not boxing like that. I thought maybe he could beat him boxing similar to how he boxed in the first fight, but just taking it up a level, because he'd be sharper, he'd have more strength, and so on. He'd be closer to what he was like against Klitschko. And I thought, yeah, that version of Fury could beat Deontay Wilder on points. But to go in there and set about him the way he did, and just demolish him, that surprised me. So I'm reluctant to say that Tyson Fury at 300 pounds would be too heavy and would be at risk, serious risk, of losing to Deontay Wilder in this trilogy fight. I'm hesitant to say that because Tyson Fury proved me badly wrong in the second fight. Not in terms of winning, because I always felt like he could win, but the manner in which he won. Boxing in that style, just taking it to Deontay and demolishing him. He proved me badly wrong there. And with regards to the weight, I always felt like the lighter the better for Tyson Fury. Whereas John Fury was saying, no, no, no. He's going to come in heavy and he's going to be better heavy. I didn't think that would be the case. You know, same with David Haye and many other people. But it did turn out to be the case. So Tyson Fury is a guy who, you know, for experience, I'm reluctant to, to dismiss when it comes to the things that he says with regards to the way he's going to perform in the ring. In terms of the stuff he says about his rivals like Anthony Joshua and these other people, of course, you got to take it with a pinch of salt. But in terms of the fighters he's about to fight, who he's signed to fight and he's going to fight, the game plan he's talking about implementing, and what he claims he's going to do to them, Yeah, I'm not so quick to doubt Tyson Fury. I'm reluctant to doubt him because he's proved me wrong before. So, yeah. You guys let me know what you think in the comments below. Is 300 pounds? I especially want to hear from the diehard Tyson Fury fans. Is 300 pounds too heavy for Tyson Fury against Wilder? Or will he actually be even better at 300 pounds against Wilder than he was at 275, whatever it was? Or perhaps you think he's not serious about coming in at 300 pounds, because Tyson Fury likes to keep us guessing. We never know whether he's serious or not serious. It's difficult to know. Yeah, that's part of the brilliance of Tyson Fury, is that he does keep you guessing. He does make himself unpredictable in and out of the ring. So anyway, let me know what you guys think in the comments below. What, in your mind, would be the ideal weight for Tyson Fury in this fight? Would it be 270-something as he came in last time? Would it be a bit lighter than that? Would it be a bit heavier than that? Let me know.